I once found this hilarious video on YouTube, and I sent it to a friend of mine. And later that day, I called him and I said, "Did you watch the video?" He said, "No, I don't watch videos during work." Oh, I was humbled, because here I was on a work day watching videos. Well, when I heard him say that he doesn't watch videos during work, I said, no wonder he's such a great and amazing leader and person. When I was 16 years old, the first time I went to the seminary in Mission, I was in awe of the monks. So the monks get up every day at 4:45 in the morning, and they spend 2 hours right away in prayer. And when I watched them in the church, they were praying in silence. I just looked at them and I said, "That I want to have that kind of discipline in my own life." And finally, I once had lunch with a national director of Alpha. So we have the Alpha program here, and I was having lunch with a national director. He told me he has some problems, and so I, being so good and so smart, I said to him, "I think you should make priorities every day." And he says, "I already do that." Oh. And of course, I realized this guy's at another level of living. He already has priorities every single day. Now, unfortunately, I think a lot of us, we don't live like that. What do? We do whatever we want during the day. We are slaves to our whims. So there's some people, like these people I've just mentioned, they live a better kind of life. They live a holier kind of life. They have priorities every day. They have certain rules that they stick by. They don't watch videos during work. They have set times for prayer. For the past 2 weeks, I've been inviting you to commit to 15 minutes a week of adoration, to make a certain commitment in life, to have a better kind of life. 117 people have signed up. That's not too good. I want to thank everyone who has signed up. But there's this hesitancy in a lot of us to make that commitment. Maybe it's the way we look at commitments. Maybe a lot of us are afraid of failing. I just want to remind you, when I invite you to make this commitment, it's not what I want from you. It's what I want for you. I'm not asking you to do this for me. It's not for me. This is for you. This is for your benefit. St. Paul says in the second reading, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, for you are called to freedom only. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another." Jesus has set us free. What kind of freedom is it? It's not freedom to do whatever we want, not for self-indulgence. That's not what he's talking about. That's an abuse of freedom. What St. Paul is saying is, through love, become a slave to the good. Become a slave to the good. If you're a slave to what's truly good, that's what we call discipline. That's a really good thing. 4 years ago, we talked about this notion of freedom. And we said, there are two questions you always want to ask with regard to freedom. First question is, free to do what? And second question is, are you free to do what is good? So I'm going to ask you some questions. Is Canada a free country? Okay, I would agree. Yes and no. Yes, we're a free country. None of us are sold into slavery. That's great. But in Canada, there's still a lot of slavery. What do I mean? A lot of Canadians, maybe us, we're slaves to our cravings. There are hundreds of thousands of men, Canadians, who are slaves to their pornography. They couldn't stop if they really wanted to. A lot of us might be slaves to our phones. We always have to have it, no matter where we are. I'll ask you another question. And I asked you this one before. When you get married, do you become more free? It's tough marriage. Okay, so remember those two questions. Free to do what? Free to do what? And are you free to do what's good? So when you get married, you have a freedom now to have a beautiful spouse and then a family and have these amazing relationships. You don't have that kind of freedom when you're single. But when you're single, you have a different freedom. You have a freedom to serve. You'll be never more free in life to serve a large amount of people than when you're single. Great. But when you're celibate, you have this incredible freedom to love God in a way that most people don't. So the question always is, free to do what? And are you free to do what's good? Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The Jews answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Most children, for example, they are not free to tell the truth. Think about the children you know, and let's now think about ourselves. When we were young, we committed our first lie. And then we started realizing, oh, I can lie and not get caught. And I'm going to lie, well, because I don't want to get in trouble. It's going to make my life easier. So what happens is we start getting really good at lying, and it becomes an instinct. So whenever I have to lie to get out of trouble, to avoid an uncomfortable situation, just make life easier, I'm good at lying. I'm very free to lie. Now, if there comes a moment when I have to say the truth for the good, good of myself, good of other people, it's really hard because now I'm afraid. I'm no longer free to tell the truth. You see? Jesus always asks for a commitment because he wants to give us something. He wants to give us a kind of freedom. In the gospel today, someone says to him, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, because he's God, he requires absolute commitment, an even greater commitment to our family. And then he uses an exaggeration. If you choose to follow him and you make him number one in your life, you can't put your family above him. And if you even want to say goodbye first to your family, then you're postponing your commitment and you're not worthy. You're actually not making a real commitment. But if we make a commitment to Jesus, things get better. It's for us, right? So if you put God above your family, you'll find you'll love your family even more. You will be more forgiving to your family, more patient, and more loving towards them. One thing I've noticed as your priest, I'll tell you, a lot of you, this is what I observe, a lot of you have moments in your life where you do really well, and things go very nicely in your life, and then you're going to go through a crisis, you feel far away from God, and then you start distancing yourself from God. So there are a number of people here in our community. They should be here today, but they're not here today because they've given up. And one thing they were lacking to get them through a spiritual crisis is commitment. Sometimes during crises, let's say in a marriage, the only thing that will keep a couple together is their commitment to a vow. So you know when a couple has a problem, they're hurting each other, both of them. And those good feelings, they're gone. And the only thing that will help them to solve their problem is their vow that they made. They made a vow. And that vow will point them in the direction of a solution. It will say, okay, we've got to get help. We've got to change the way we treat each other. We have to improve, and we've got to start rebuilding. So that commitment will give them freedom to find that solution. You will only go as far in life as your commitments. Whatever your commitments are in life, that is how far you'll go. If you want to get in shape, your commitment to sleep, nutrition, and exercise, that's how far you're going to go in terms of getting in shape. It's proportionate. Someone told me, this saint, Saint Jose Maria Escrivá, founder of Opus Dei, he said that our daily commitment to prayer, or whatever our spiritual commitments are, those daily commitments, he said those are like fire hydrants that have sticks on them. Apparently in places like Quebec, and I looked this up, in places where there's lots of snow, they have fire hydrants with sticks on top of them. So when it snows and the snow covers them, you can find where the fire hydrant is. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá said that our daily spiritual commitments are like those sticks. When we have crises in our lives, the commitments will point us to the solution. It'll help us find water. So if you know anyone in our community, they should be here today. but they're struggling. Could I just ask you, please, to pray for them, support them, listen to them? But if you can, help them make spiritual commitments, because if they do, they'll do really well in life. I wish all of you just had a bit stronger commitments, because then you'll do really well. That's my desire for you. So let's just review this offer I'm making you, this suggestion. I'm going to ask you a few questions about this adoration commitment, and then you just answer me. So question number one is, how much time am I suggesting that you spend every week in adoration? Okay, does it have to, can it be in any chapel, any church? Yes. Does it have to be the same time every week? Right. So what's the problem here? You guys all know this. It's very good. Okay, now then some people ask, but Father Justin, if that's the case, why does, when I go to the registration on the website, why does it ask me for a certain hour? That's just because that's a website. It's not the best website in the world. It's the best website for adoration, and the website designers are going to improve it. But just choose a time, but don't worry about sticking to that time, okay? So, can I go anytime to any church during the week for my adoration? Yeah, good. Okay. So please do not worry about failure. When it comes to improving our relationship with God, it is better to aim high and fail than to aim low and just not improve. So it is better to set a high bar and miss that bar than set a low bar and reach it. When it comes to our relationship with God, He would rather us try to spend more time with Him and then struggle, rather than just saying, well, I'm going to stay the way I am. Do not worry about failure. So you can go to this website, takes 2 minutes on your phone. And if you prefer, a lot of people love using these cards. You've got the cards in the pews. If you want to pass them down right now, please do. Some people might prefer signing up with the cards. Go for it, please. They're at the ends of the pews. By the way, in the next few weeks during the homilies, I'm going to teach you how to pray in adoration. So sometimes we feel, I don't know what to do in adoration, Father Justin. And to start us off, today in the bulletin, we've got this amazing handout, this insert. It's called 48 Things to Do at Adoration. This thing is gold. This thing gives you so many simple suggestions. You just take that to adoration. Just choose whichever one works for you. It's there today in the bulletin. Imagine this. Let's say Jesus announced to thousands of people in visions, thousands of people have visions, He says He's going to come in the flesh, He's going to come on a certain day, and He's going to appear at BC Place. And He's going to come and tell the world how much He loves us, how we can get back to God the Father, and what we all need to improve. Now, let's say the whole thousands of people are getting this vision, even non-Catholics, so much so that it starts getting reported all across the media. Now, the day that Jesus would appear at BC Place, the whole world would want to stop and listen. And hundreds of millions of people would go to BC Place, Jesus is coming! And we would all go too. And at that event, we would listen to Jesus because we want to hear what He has said to the whole world. And everyone will want to hear, because we're talking about Jesus Christ. We know His God, but everyone else knows this is a great teacher at the very least. Everyone would listen. And after that meeting, He would say, I want to speak to certain people privately, those whom I choose. And He would choose all of us. And then we'd have a private meeting with Jesus. Just us. And then we get to have question and answer with Jesus. He'd give us answers to all of our particular problems, and then He'd give us all a big hug. And then at the end of that, He would say, next week, I want to see all of you again for 15 minutes. Would you go? Yeah, I'd go. No matter how busy I'd be, I'd want to hear what Jesus would say to me. And whatever problem I'm going through, whatever Jesus would tell me would be perfect. It'd give me grace and strength and a challenge. This is what Jesus wants for us. And if we make a commitment to that time, we will have true freedom.